Reading this morning, just one verse out of Isaiah chapter 40 as we continue our series on what is Reformed theology, how does it apply to our lives. It is up on the screen. So hear God's word. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So may God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Father, open our hearts, that we cannot know you fully, we can know you. So help us to see you better today, in Christ's name, amen. My faith has found a resting place. This is message 5 or 6, I think it is, as we've been looking. I'll review here in just a second. But I saw a video this week, about a 30, 35-minute video, of the greatest minds in the world. These people could tell you the molecular structure of a gnat. These people could tell you whatever you wanted to know about a tree, a nuclear weapon, the human body. I mean, just intellectually brilliant people. And I thought, well, this would be interesting. And the question was, do you believe in God? And so I wrote down as fast as I could some of the quotes. One scholar said, God is just irrelevant. And by the way, every one of these answers, you just see an arrogance on these people, an arrogance, as if man is God. Another said, there's no evidence that we need a God. All can be explained by science. Another said, you know, an afterlife would be great, but I have no conviction there is an afterlife. Another, the mind is a product of the brain, and the brain is the product of evolution. Therefore, there is no need to invoke an immaterial soul. Another, we have no knowledge at all where the laws of physics came from. When we really understand the laws of physics, we can hope that we can discover where everything came from. This one really was a mind, this really opened up the heart of the deal here. Quote, my problem with having a one designer, that's the creator, is that the designer is always greater and more complex than that what is designed. Duh, you know. And then he went on to say, well, it's like the designer of a car is smarter than the car. And why did that bother this scholar? Because if he admitted in a designer, he'd have to admit that designer is greater than he is. And these, and I think most of them were men. These men could not admit that there was a being greater than them. The theme ran through the whole thing. This person said, I try not to have faith. You should keep away from irrational beliefs. Theology is just grappling with phantoms. Spiritual belief is used to influence and corrupt educational politics. Intelligent design is a form of madness. So then one of the interviewers asked this question. Okay, so there is no God, but I mean, is it okay for human beings to even just believe there's a God? Does it, you know, help them in day-to-day life? So her question was, is there a practical reason for spiritual belief? Quote, there cannot be a reason for believing what is not true. Most of us know Stephen Hawking. He simply said, God is unnecessary. I think he found out different. Someone said, well, they asked this question, when you die, is that it? And this scholar said, quote, of course. Of course. Now, this one really was a mind opener. Quote, religion created God in such a way that science can't get anywhere near God to verify that God exists. In other words, it's a trick. Religion tricked us and created the Bible and everything in such a way that we really can't, with science, prove it. Isn't that interesting? Like we, you know, somewhere back in the past, we devised this way to just trick the really smart people. That was only 10 minutes into a 35-minute video. 10 minutes and 35-minute video. And of course, I always think of Romans chapter 1, verse 22, claiming to be wise, they became fools. And you see these people, and they could say big, long words. Like I said, they could tell you the molecular structure of a roach or whatever it might be. But the Bible would say, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Reformed theology, which our church is, a Reformed church, is God-centered. We believe in God. We make no bones about it. We don't try to hide it. We believe in a God we have never seen. And the truth about God bleeds through everything we believe and everything we teach and everything we practice. And so far, let me just review super quick here. We have seen the great beliefs of a Reformed church, and that is Scripture alone. We don't need a pope. You don't need me telling you Scripture. I teach it, explain it, hopefully by the power of the Holy Spirit in context, Old Testament, New Testament, all of that. But we have been given God's revelation through Scripture alone. We look next at faith alone. It is simply supernatural faith. There are no works involved that saves anybody, and it is in Christ alone. Christ shed blood, his death, his burial, his resurrection. The Son of God gave his life for us. No one else pays for sin. Christ paid it completely. And then we saw last week grace alone. It is the wonderful grace of God giving to us what we do not deserve, what we could never earn. It is all grace. Today, the last one in this particular part, for God's glory alone. It is for the glory of God. Now, many different theologies, and maybe we could say denominations, which I haven't said one word about Baptist today, although we are a Reformed Baptist church. There are many good churches that don't have the title Baptist to them. Many different religions hold to the same truths that we would hold about God. And we're just going to see just two or three of them today. I'm going to highlight. And that's great. But what happens is when it comes to salvation and redemption, they leave those truths about God that they just taught. For instance, many people teach God is sovereign and in control of everything. He's in control of that gnat that some people can tell the molecular structure of. He's in control of the air, the sun, the moon, the stars. He's in control of your life, every single bit of it. Yet when it comes to the redemption of man and our salvation, they leave that truth and they have to say that man is involved in their salvation. Man works their way. Man makes a decision to get saved. Well, the question is God sovereign or isn't he? If we teach he is sovereign here, he must be sovereign over everything or he's not sovereign. God is either God or he isn't God. Our redemption from eternal damnation is either dependent on God or man. There's no in between. And so that's where the difference between Reformed theology and others is. When it comes to our salvation, they start adding stuff. No, it's grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, what the Scriptures teach us alone, and it is for God to shine. You see, just like in that video, they couldn't stand for somebody else to shine. It just seemed to bother them that somebody could be wiser, smarter, more powerful than them. They have all the answers. John 6:63 just sums it up. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. This is Jesus speaking. He said, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. I mean, that just puts the nail in the coffin, so to speak. Is man in charge of our salvation? For you going to heaven when your life passes away from earth, did you have to do a bunch of stuff here on earth? Is it dependent on God outweighing your good and bad? Or is it based on the blood of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God awakening your dead, rotten, evil soul that we saw last week and simply making you alive? It is the Spirit who gave you life. Your flesh is no help at all. Now, that's a blessing. it kind of bothers proud people, but it's a blessing. Because if your salvation in heaven was dependent on what you do, you will spend eternity. You will spend eternity with your best friend eternity in darkness. Thankfully, it is God's grace through the Spirit of God. Now, it is impossible to cover this subject in one day, so I just picked three to just kind of refresh our wonderful memories of. First of all, God is incomprehensible. He's incomprehensible. We didn't make a religion that was incomprehensible. God is, by nature, to humans, incomprehensible. Now, that is a little bit misleading, though truthful, because our beliefs, our Christianity, is a revealed religion. The Almighty has revealed truth to us. R.C. Sproul said, God has made himself known to us sufficiently for us to be redeemed and to experience fellowship with him. So he's incomprehensible, but not in the sense that we can't know anything about him or that we can't be redeemed and saved from our sin. He went on to say, we enjoy an apprehensive, that means an awareness or knowledge of something, knowledge of God, but not a comprehensive knowledge of God. Calvin, which many, even religious people, hate because they've been taught wrong about him, Calvin said, the finite cannot grasp or contain the infinite. That's true. We cannot grasp what is infinite. It is absolutely impossible. I mean, I'm blown away by cell phones. How can somebody talk to you face to face who's in Germany? I just don't get it. I mean, I understand the signal goes to a satellite, and the satellite goes to a fiber optic cable, and a fiber optic cable goes to these little concrete buildings out in the middle of nowhere that you drive by on the highway, and it gets sent to another cable, and all of a sudden, and it happens, and boom, like that. When I used to work with that for a while, if a cable went down, a fiber optic cable, we'd have to get up whenever. We'd be out there at midnight, and it'd be us. I remember once we were in Owensboro, Kentucky, and I forget, somewhere in Tennessee or something, a couple hundred miles away, there was other people that worked with us, and I watched. That's all I did. I just stand and watch, and got paid. It's really fun. And they had a light, and they shot a light through the fiber optic cable. And so I remember the guy said, all right, I'm going to shoot the light. He hit the button or whatever, and in a matter of just second, the guy said, I see it. So they knew it wasn't that fiber optic. I don't understand that. I kind of grasp it. I mean, there's many things that are incomprehensible, but God is, the finite cannot know the infinite. There is a vast difference between God and you and God and Stephen Hawking and any other person who thinks they're smart. A vast difference. That doesn't mean men aren't smart. God's creation's amazing, isn't it not? That's a double negative. Is it not? Oh my goodness. Men can do amazing things. Men can do, and women can do amazing things. I mean, in music, I listen to some trumpet players and I just go, how do they do that? It sounds like three people playing. How do you build an airplane that can get off the ground that weighs how many tons? That can hold 400 people. Telephones, computers. It's amazing. So I'm not saying that, but compared to a mighty God, impossible. He's incomprehensible. And by the way, we are not little gods, even though we're made in God's image. We are not little gods. You and I, even when we are glorified, when our life ends or the trumpet sounds, we still will never be God. We will be like him if we shall see him as he is. We will never be God. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. There are some things God has not told us. And if he has not told us, we do not need to know. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us, Scripture alone, and to our children forever. Why? That we may do all the words of the law. So, this God is incomprehensible. He has things he has not told us. And if he has not told us, we do not need to know. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Did you ever go to get counseled? Did you ever go to a friend to ask for advice? You didn't know what to do? The scriptures say God has never had to go to a counselor. What do I do? They have made such a mess of their lives. What do I do? Never. He knows exactly everything. Excuse me. Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? Nobody needs repaid by God. Excuse me. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. For the glory of God alone. Man is not central. Man is not the highest. And the theme through that little video I saw was, we are the highest. And I have no need for a God, because that just doesn't make me feel good. What an arrogance. And in fact, it says there is no evidence for God. That is not true. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth his handiwork. Day and today utter speech. Even a blind person can see that there's God. How? The heat, Psalm says. The heat from God's sun can touch them. Romans 1 says that all are held responsible because they can see God's deity in his creation. Therefore, everyone is responsible. No one has an excuse. So God did give plenty of evidence. Now, we need special revelation, the scriptures, to know about redemption. What a blessing for God to be higher than us. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. By the way, the context of that verse is forgiveness. And if you've ever had somebody crush you, hurt you, lie about you, or do whatever, you know how hard it is to forgive. This incomprehensible God says, in the context of forgiveness, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. I am not you, God says. Isn't it amazing this week? And I don't fully understand Northern Lights. I do remember watching the Polar Express and seeing it on there when the little computer people said, those are the Northern Lights on the back of the train. I watch kid videos because I have grandkids, okay? What did we see the very next day all over social media? Everybody's pictures, whether they knew Jesus or not, they were glorifying God in his creation. God says, I am here, I am here, I am here. Now, here are a couple examples before we turn to the next one. This is, I think, my favorite example to show that God is incomprehensible. The scriptures say God is eternal. God had no beginning. God has no end. I can fathom the no end. You explain to me, who will be the first one to come up here and explain to me how a being can have no beginning? It's impossible. It's impossible. It is absolutely impossible, but possible with God. It'll explode your brain. But the scriptures say, I am that I am. It is the Hebrew and the Greek word for being. He is just being. He is eternal. How did God not have a beginning? Well, he's not us. He never had a beginning, rather. Now, here's another one. How can there be one God but three persons? And don't take water and make it water and steam and ice. No, that doesn't work. Nothing works. There's no example that works. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Then we discover there's Father, Son, and Spirit. Each one doing the works of God. Each one God, 100% God. You explain that to me. You can't use an egg. That doesn't work. You can't use water. That doesn't work. It's impossible. But the scriptures teach it. He's incomprehensible. How about this one? How can God be sovereign and in control over the smallest molecule and yet evil exists? And how can God not be responsible for evil even though it is a part of his divine plan? Well, whoever wants to start. I believe it because the Bible teaches it, but I can't explain it. He is incomprehensible, and he is true. Reformed theology believes by faith the revealed truth of God, even if he is incomprehensible. You use a phone, you use a computer, and you don't understand it. We are glad we have the God of the Bible, not a God like us, who fails, who falters, who lies, who deceives. We have this amazing God. I love the next one. It's simply the fact that God is. Are we on the? Click it, Tim. I don't know why it's not working. I got plenty of battery. If you wouldn't mind clicking it to the next point, Tim. My not work. You did? Huh? Oh, there we got sovereign. Good. Awesome. Well, it's got a timer going for some reason. And I got full battery. Oh, well, I see. I guess I hit a timer. God's in charge of that. God is sovereign. Sovereign. God is one, there is no other. Further, this God is the creator of all that is, not subject to pre-existent matter or conditions. God is the ruler of all, the Almighty. Nothing is outside of God's governance. Nothing. Nothing. Grudem said, God is continually involved with all created things in such a way that he keeps them existing, maintaining the properties with which he created them. 2, cooperates with created things in every action, directing their distinctive properties to cause them to act as they do. And 3, he directs them to fulfill his purposes. If there was one thing out of God's control, he's not God. If one little tiny thing is out of God's control, he is not God. If your salvation is dependent upon you to pray a prayer, he is not God. It amazes me that some preachers and churches and theologies teach that God is in heaven just biting his nails, just hoping you'll believe. Just hoping you'll believe so he can save you. That's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. Or to think that if I can just get this person to repeat that sinner's prayer. I'll never forget, I was in a church and there was Bible school. Not one person, not one child made a profession of faith. And that next meeting, the pastor said, you know, no, none of the kids got saved. What's going on? And so the next night when we met, all these teachers are saying, I had 4 say the prayer. I had 3 say the prayer. I had 2 say the prayer. And I'm sitting there just smoke blowing out of my ears. Folks, making kids or people repeat a prayer is nowhere in the scriptures. God is not just hoping we can get somebody to say that prayer or to get a group of people in a church to say a prayer. Now, I'm not saying if the gospel's taught, God can open a heart with our mess ups, right? I am not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. I remember, I believe I was saved when I was 10 years old at a revival meeting, and of course, that's the way they did it. You walk forward, and then somebody had me repeat a prayer. A prayer is a natural response, but God had already saved my heart. God had already changed me by his Spirit. God is sovereign over your salvation. He does not need us to coerce people to sign on the dotted line. He tells us to share the gospel. God is sovereign. Listen to just a couple of these verses. He is the radiance of the glory of God, Jesus, and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. God upholds the universe by his word. This earth we're standing on is held together because God is holding it together. Ephesians 1:11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Wow, what a blessing. No event in creation falls outside God's providence. Isn't that? I can't understand the evil things that happen, but God is God. Psalm 135:6, whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and in all the deeps. Whatever God pleases, God does it. He is sovereign. That's the God we teach and preach and believe. When Nebuchadnezzar, God got a hold of him, remember that story? Here's what he said. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. Those people in that video needed to read that. And he does according to his will among the host of the heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? That's our incomprehensible sovereign God. We can't explain how it all works. We cannot explain man chooses to believe, although God enables him to believe. But the scriptures teach both. And these next two will be really quick. God is holy. Hey, my thing worked. God is holy. Psalm 99 says, exalt the Lord your God, worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Peter says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You and I may not be able to comprehend everything, but since God is holy, we know it's right. We know it's true. We know it's right. Because God cannot make a mistake. A person who has never ever heard the gospel and dies and then ends up in everlasting damnation. In our brains, we struggle with that. But God is right. Because they've denied the God in creation, Psalm 19 and Romans 1. We know that in our life, God cannot make a mistake with it. Whatever you're in, whatever you're facing, whatever physical infirmities you struggle with, whatever family problems you have, whatever things that you have questions about, whatever fears you have, you need to know that God has not made a mistake with your life. He is holy. His way of salvation is perfect as well. His way of his Spirit awakening souls by hearing the gospel chosen before the foundation of the world is the only way it can be done because God can do nothing wrong. It is perfect. And the last one this morning, God is love. Now, you know what the problem is with this one? A lot of churches in our day are going with love and it's erasing all the other ones. You can't tell somebody this is sin. That's not loving. Oh, well, let me allow them to stay in their sin and die in their sin and be damned forever. That's really loving, isn't it? Some churches are changing hymns. The words in hymns and making them support homosexual activity, lesbianism activity, you can be a girl if you want to be, all that. I've seen it. I've seen them sing it in these churches. A Reformed church holds to God, holiness, truth, sovereign, but he is a God of love. But we can't take the others away and just say, well, God doesn't really care how you live. God doesn't care what you teach. God doesn't really care if you believe the Bible or not. He's a God of love. Do what you want. Well, that people eat that up and people swallow that because it feeds our human nature. But God is a God of love and grace and mercy. And we teach that. John said, we've come to know and to believe that love, the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. In fact, his love is so great, Paul instructs us to pray to understand it, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 2, God rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. Great love. When we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. This love sent his Son to die for our sin, that we might live in heaven forever and ever and ever. In Reformed theology, we stick to this truth. We don't erase sin just so we can have bigger crowds. We don't get rid of sin because it offends people. So be it. But we shouldn't be not loving. We shouldn't take the truths of God and be mean and ornery and scream at people and yell. I've never understood where fire and brimstone preaching comes from, where people just yell at sinners. I've never seen that. Preach truth. But this yelling and screaming and being hateful, nowhere does the Bible teach that. But we do not hide sin. We do highlight God's love and truth. God's love and deliverance will cover his anger and wrath, and God gets the glory. All right, let's land the plane. Three simple points here. Never forget, your redemption is in the hands of God to his glory. He will never lose you. If he has to depend on you and bite his nails, hoping that you'll do enough, hoping you'll say a prayer, hoping, then you, my friend, are doomed. You are doomed. But the scriptures say that he loves his own to the very end. Your salvation, your eternal life, is not dependent on how much you do this and how many prayers you pray and blah, 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 blah. Your salvation is based on the holy God awakened your dead, damned soul and gave you life. That's it. Anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are changed into a new creature. It is a work of the Spirit of God based on what the Father did in eternity past, based on what Jesus did here on earth, based on what the Spirit of God, based on what Father did and what the Son did. We saw that last week. Never forget that your salvation is in the hands of God and he will never lose you. He will love you to the end and he will raise you up the last day. Never forget also that the entirety of your life is in the hands of God to his glory. He'll never make a mistake in your life. You know, sometimes when I complain, I have to realize that who I'm really complaining against is God. Because I am where I am, I am who I am. I am who I am because God made me that and put me there. Even with my failures and my mistakes and my shortcomings and my stupidity and my horrible decisions, God is still sovereign. And you and I can say, God, I am in this life for your glory today. With all of that bundled up together. And you need to know God will never make a mistake in your life. Whatever you're struggling with, whether it's a physical problem, a family problem, a worry you're struggling with, whatever it is, you can rest in peace that God has not made a mistake in your life. I've heard some people say, I married the wrong man. I married the wrong woman. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. God is sovereign. Your life is in his hands to his glory. Just start loving that man and that woman. Serve them. Enough on that. Three, if you reject this God, his holy wrath will be upon you for all eternity for his glory. Romans says that God gets glory when he displays his wrath. I understand that, but I don't understand it. I'll admit, I understand it, but not to the fullest degree. Because he cannot deny himself. God cannot let somebody into his kingdom who is not born from above. He can't. It's impossible. He simply can't do it. Well, I had a great definition to read today, but I'm going to read it. You can leave if you want. Okay. It's not very long, but I love this definition. The Reformed doctrine of God has bequeathed to the church a God who is truly Lord, a majestic sovereign who rides in the ancient heavens. He exercises his own good pleasure eternally, affirming and attesting and delighting in his own perfect goodness. And he turns toward his creatures in that perfect goodness to enact his justice and his mercy. Utterly self-sufficient, gloriously free, this God seals the covenant with creatures through the blood of his Son and is content to dwell with them. He does not leave himself without witness, for the whole cosmos speaks his name. For this reason, the God whom the Reformed worship and adore is in fullness and in truth humanity's chief end, its glory and its delight forever. Amen and amen. God of heaven, thank you for coming down to us. When we finally see you as you are, we are going to be blown away. A God who never had a beginning. A God who is holy. A God that will let us live in your kingdom eternally forever and ever and ever. The ones that murdered your son. What a God you are. Oh God of mine, thank you for being ours. Open the hearts of those who don't know you, and may those of us who do know you grow and giving you the glory you deserve, you alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.